This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk. This is Frida Liu. It's the Thursday of the month. And of course, it's our time with Digital News Asia. It is bonus time as well. Double bonus for me because Karam is not here. We have A. Asohan. And, so the other bonus is because it's the year end review. So, Asohan, welcome.
We see you
once every 10 years, just like a Star Wars movie, right? And I was like, wow, the last Star Wars movie was 10 years ago?
Something okay. like that, I can't remember.
Didn't watch that one either. Today will be my first Star Wars movie ever.
Oh, you're watching it ever. Tonight?
Ever.
Okay, don't put any spoilers out. Eh?
Okay. The green guy always wins.
spoiler alert.
Okay. What, the year-end review, I'm sure, of course, we've got to talk about magic.
Right, yeah. It's been a magic year for startups, I'm saying. So, it's very sad to see the founding CEO leave. But Cheryl Yeo has basically made her mark, I think, the startup scene there. Yeah. Everyone seems to get the wrong idea about DNA's coverage of her leaving. It's like we're not supposed to say bad things. But, she was operating under a lot of challenges, right? And I think in the end... it's sad to see her go because I think the next CEO will have
big shoes
to fill.
Big right? heels to fill.
Yes. Oh, that's a bit sexist, isn't it?
She did wear those heels. Condolences as well because her father passed away yesterday.
This is a year, I think it was a marker year, a milestone for the Malaysian startup scene. And a lot of the credit has to go to Magic and Cheryl and the team at Magic. Their big successes were they did finally kick off their ASEAN Accelerator, the Magic Accelerator program, which had a very ASEAN outlook, trying to get ASEAN-based startups to look at the regional market as a stepping stone towards becoming global startups, which I thought was great because it really synced in with the fact that Malaysia is the chair for ASEAN. At the end of this month, the ASEAN economic community comes into place and all that. So it was great timing. And it was very successful in the sense that, you had a lot of interest from startups. Of course, most of the startups that applied and took part in the program were Malaysian, but it was nice to see that a lot of other countries as well had startups taking part.
And you can hear our interview with her a couple of days ago in the evening edition. I think this was her farewell chat with BFM, on a guest and experience. But I'm just looking at, their game plan, which they've, put on the website and all that.
Yeah.
And these things were achieved.
Yes. So, whatever she said she was going to set up to do, she achieved it, right? I think a lot, we did mention mounting pressure on Cheryl and her team, and these were actually, most of these pressures had to do with politics, right? Or issues with how Magic was first envisioned, a lot of dissatisfied UMNO people, right? I don't think we can blame her for that. I would never blame her for that. That was the external situation. Maybe, she could have reacted better to it. But a lot of it also falls on the Ministry of Finance and the board and how that was handled. So, this is not her doing. It's sad to see her go.
When you say that, people were upset, well, certain parties were upset, I don't think that was the instruction given for her when she decided to take on the mantle, right?
Yeah, when she had a mandate when she came on board and she stuck to her mandate. So that, she deserves full credit for that. There were other issues, but that's not just on her.
So you can read this all on Digital News Asia.
Yes.
Don't plant it on BFM.
So the Magic Accelerator Program MAP MAP. They had a total of 77 startups, and 52 of them were focused on the ASEAN market, and then it's also included. And this, I think that. Not enough credit is being given to either Magic or the government, the social enterprise part.
Yeah.
I think that is, for me, that's...
Magic.
I've actually written about it before, that I think this is a differentiator that we should really focus on.
Yes.
Let's not fight against Singapore or not so blatantly, right? Yeah. Let's not fight against the other startup hubs. Mm. I think this the fact that we have a social enterprise blueprint, right, is a damn good starting stone.
Yeah.
And there should be a bit more focus on that.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I've been speaking to some of the people as well who are recipients of this, and just the whole initiative and just this whole conversation, people say, what's a social enterprise? And this is something that's been happening for years.
Yes.
But to bring this up to the forefront, and that when you're doing this, you're really changing the community at the same time.
Yes.
Right?
And if you read a lot of reports on Generation Z, and Gen Y and all these people and the kind of jobs that they like to do now, you know, it's not just about...
It's about making a difference.
Yes, it's about making an impact, right?
Yeah.
They themselves, as individuals, making an impact. So I think that's a very good lodestone to tap into and, you know...
I wonder who'll be the successor.
To Magic?
Ooh.
Well, okay, you know, what I didn't write in my story, of course, is that, you know, there were three candidates shortlisted. And Cheryl actually won. It was a very tight vote, apparently. They had a selection committee, six people, and the votes were 3-2-1.
Oh.
That's how close it was, right? I think they'll probably want to re-engage with two of the candidates, but they've also hired a headhunting agency. And for this, I think they will let the headhunting agency take the lead, but they will also keep in mind the other two shortlisted candidates. So it will be interesting to see when
the
headhunters comes out with their list, what happens next, whether they'll carry on to re-engage. I know one of the shortlisted candidates has expressed doubts about taking on the role, right? Especially seeing what Cheryl has gone through, right? So it's going to be a tough one.
Mm.
And there's also some of the people who are involved in Magic saying it would be a pity if they finally appointed someone based on race. Right?
Because agenda.
That boomy agenda that has been dogging us for so long.
Right.
A lot of people have already said, I mean, it was very refreshing to see someone like Cheryl be appointed a CEO. And that really helped us as well in terms of, you know, how open the Malaysian ecosystem was to people.
The world.
And
it was that you hire someone based purely on meritocracy. Okay, another one that's left the Southeast Asia ecosystem, Grab Taxi.
I mean, tremendous story, right? They keep getting funding and funding and funding. I mean, it's like, hey, they're a unicorn, so they're not mythical creatures after all.
Okay.
So, you know, I think we have to accept, sadly, that this is no longer a Malaysian startup, right? It's not just the fact that they've moved their international headquarters to Singapore. They've set up their R&D center in Singapore.
So it is still Southeast Asia.
It is still Southeast Asia. There's a lot of focus because now it's part of this. You know, in earlier this month, they announced this big deal with Didi Kwadi from China, Lyft and Ola. Ola from Lyft from the US, you know, the other Uber and Ola in India. And all these ride-sharing and taxi-hailing companies are working together.
Mm.
So I think they're going to mark out their territories as well. So Grab Taxi is going to be the Southeast Asian player, right? Ola takes care of India. Didi Kwadi takes care of China. And, you know,
Middle East.
Yeah.
Okay. So which is... and it's quite... I guess as a Malaysian, you find it so disheartening that that has to happen outside.
Yeah.
But it's business.
It's business. You can't blame them for doing it, right?
Yeah.
I do have issues with how, and this is not just their fault. It includes some of the tech media keep referring to them as a Singapore startup, right?
Yeah.
Because this is the PR marketing spin and all that. And I think Karam brought it out, up in one of his op-ed pieces a couple of months ago. That in their list of how the funding they have received, there's no mention of Cradle.
Mm.
They got two grants out of Cradle, and there's no mention of Cradle there.
Right. So these are things that you know. The peanut don't forget the skin.
Kacang dan lupakan kulit.
Yeah,
yes.
That kind of thing.
Hey, my Bahasa has improved.
Kudos to them, and I think this is also a reflection of, you know, how. you know, when you want to take things to
the next level.
Yeah, the next level. So great, you've got the startup space. When what happens when a company wants to grow? And that's probably where the accelerator program in Magic is supposed to help.
That's the other issue, see?
All right.
It's sad to see that for a Malaysian startup to scale up, it had to go to Singapore. And there are a lot of other issues. And I do know that, you know, to be fair to Magic and the other agencies involved in the startup scene in some way, they do recognize the funding ecosystem is an issue. The R&D, academia, that is something that is, you know, these agencies can't help here.
Yes.
It's our education system, right?
Yeah. So it's a talent. If we don't have it, we don't have the facilities, what do? You just got to go where the best place is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll continue our conversation on our year-end review with A.R. Sohan from Digital News Asia. You're listening to Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's an exciting year-end review. You're listening to Tech Talk, Frida Liu with A.R. Sohan from Digital News Asia. Just like Santa, he comes once a year. We've gone through Magic, we've gone through GrabCar, and of course we're going to talk about MDEC, a year and a bit into her role, right? About 1.5 years taking on this role. What's happening there?
Yasmin Mahmood.
Yeah.
You know, women are rocking it in the ICT scene in Malaysia.
Yep.
So, you know, you had the Magic CEO, Cheryl Yeo. Now you have Yasmin Mahmood, who took over MDEC from Bartley Sham. So this, what else is happening in the ICT industry outside of the startup space? I think quite a lot. There's been a lot of talk. These are not for me. I mean, personally, I'm very wary about buzzwords. Mm. But, you know, big data and the Internet of Things, IoT, they're not buzzwords anymore. It's really happening. And credit to the Malaysian government and a lot of the industry players. They have come together. They have recognized it and they're doing stuff. So, you know, in last December, I think... You know, I mean, when Yasmin took the role, I had doubts, of course, because it's my job to have doubts as well as a journalist.
No, it's A. Sohan.
Oh, okay. Damn. All right.
It's journalism and a pinch of A. Sohan. Okay. Okay.
So, you know, I know she's a very capable manager. But, you know, I have to say, after 1.5 years, she has certainly done what any good incoming CEO should do, which is to make a mark. Mm. She's done it. You know, under her now, as last December, MDEC announced that the big data, the national data framework, the big data framework, had been accepted by the PM and had been endorsed, and we launched it officially in January. The Malaysia's big data framework, and it, a lot of players involved in this. You know, I like the fact that it includes a lot of private sector, public sector, and MDEC is not the only agency involved. It has engaged with other relevant agencies like Mampu and Mimos as well, you know, and they're going out to set up a network of big data innovation centers of excellence, you know, the COEs that will churn out. And this is where I think hopefully next year we'll see some of these projects making a high impact. So they're supposed to churn out proofs of concept and high impact projects, right? Mm. I hope to see some things next year, but you know, it's a good start. And in April this year as well, MDEC announced that 7 public and private institutes of higher learning will be offering data science courses to university students, graduates, and you know, and even working professionals. So, you know, trying to make everyone see that there are viable careers in
big money
in data analytics, data scientists. You know, that it's going to be a shortage, and it's a worldwide shortage of data scientists. And, you know, at least we have taken the first step here.
Yeah.
Right?
Hopefully they're so good, they'll still continue to stay in the country.
Stay in this country. Yeah, well, that's always been an issue.
Yeah.
But the other thing I think that, so, you know, Yasmin can't take the credit for all this because a lot of the movements on this started before her time.
Yes, I think it's great. Wait, before you go into it.
There was
a
good succession.
Good succession, and it was building on the base of what Bartley Sham has done, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a great, you can see the progression.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and it's not just progression. I mean, some of it has gone sideways, but, you know, it's her mark.
Yeah.
I know, for instance, Bartley Sham started, because it was part of Digital Malaysia, there were a lot of these B40 programs that he had started or his team had started. That's, you know, let's not forget all the other invisibles in MDEC who work hard as well,
of course.
It's not just about the CEO sometimes. Yeah. So, He and his team started some things. Yasmin has come in and, you know, she's either carried it on or taken it to the next level, expanded some of the programs or the ideas or the reach of some of these programs. And, you know, like I said, okay, I have my doubts. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, should an agency like MDAC be doing these kind of outreach programs and all that? If you had asked me 1 year ago, I would say no, they should be focusing on getting other relevant agencies and ministries that are actually tasked with these kind of issues to be running it. I mean, in fact, that's what MDAC's original mandate for Digital Malaysia was. It was the lead agency that would coordinate with the relevant ministries and agencies. I'm pretty sure, I mean, in the end, when the others are not doing it fast or hard enough, you know, credit to MDAC. It rolled up its sleeve and said, look, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to wait for everyone else. The same issue that you brought up, you know, just now with some of the things that Magic was doing, you know, if other agencies are not moving fast enough, okay, we will take this on. Yeah. Right. So I think MDAC has done it. I like the E-Usahawan program that they launched, which again brought up to your point just now about how tech is the enabler for so many businesses.
Yeah.
So these are your polytechnics and technical colleges and all that, teaching students and, more importantly, teaching the lecturers and the teachers on how digital technologies can change their lives, how they can harness digital technologies. You know, and it's not just about teaching, it's about businesses.
Right.
In fact, one of the lectures, we did a story last week on how MDAC wants to expand EU-Sahawan. And one of the lecturers started his own side business as well, you know, because he learned so much from this. So, yeah, you know, that...
And you can, you should encourage it.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Because then you are, then your lecturers will be teaching with greater credibility.
Yes, because they've gone through it.
Exactly.
They've experienced it. You know, they know, hey, this is how it has changed my life. So that was a very, I think, well coordinated or very well thought out initiative. And, you know, again, not just MDAC, but the other agencies that were involved. And, you know, credit to the Malaysian government for kicking this off.
Right. And of course, the next one is the roadmap, is it? The National IoT Roadmap.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, IoT is not just about... IoT is not just a buzzword. So in July, we rolled out our National IoT Strategic Roadmap. Of course, when they rolled out, we went into the typical Malaysian government PR spin about how many jobs.
All right.
9.5 billion to the country's gross national income, GNI. By 2020, expected to generate a total of 14,000 plus jobs and all that. Right, fine, great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the IoT is bigger than just jobs. It's another one of those technologies. And you can't call it a technology. It's like an entire movement.
It's a movement.
Can't even call it a movement. It is reality.
It is the way of life.
It's a way of life.
Almost
and
like
it is happening. And, you know, it's we can't ignore it. And, you know, it's nice to see Malaysia actually recognizing this early and doing something about it.
Do we know what we're going to do with this kind of money, though? We've got the roadmap. Was it clear when you saw this? I mean, was it very concrete steps?
Yeah. So it is. But we only saw the first initial. Let's say the thinking behind it is very concrete, right?
Okay.
In fact, in the next couple of days or within the next week, you'll see an update on DNA about the National IoT Roadmap. One of my colleagues actually interviewed someone from MDAC yesterday to talk about this. So they're actually looking at, you know, the baby steps you need to take as well to build the foundation for this. So I wouldn't want to give out any information now, but, you know, the thinking behind it seems to be quite solid. So it's very heartening to see that as well, right? So now the next step, of course, is... Execution.
What we're very good for, what we're very well known for, and it's exciting. So we're gonna end off with a story on PCOM.
PCOM, the National ICT Association of Malaysia, just had a change of guard. Chia Kok Hung, after a couple of years, two years. I mean, they always have a 2 year term anyway, has stepped down, and CS Chin has taken over. And I think, and it's not just under Chia, but even. Woon, Tai Hong, the previous PCOM chairman. In the last 4 or 5 years, I think PCOM has finally found its voice. You know, it's like the association projects itself as the voice of the ICT industry. Yeah. But it's been very silent on key issues. But that has been changing slowly in the last couple of years, last 3-4 years, under Woon, under Chia, who doesn't mince his words sometimes and can be quite honest. So, you know, it's nice to see them finding their voice again. There are key issues. You know, they've come up with statements about the GST, the rollout. I think PICOM is very disappointed that their suggestions or recommendations that ICT products and services be zero rated for GST was not announced or proposed at the budget 2016 that was announced in October. So that's a bit of a disappointment for them. The ICT industry has been suffering somewhat. I think the figures were like a 30% plunge in sales in the first 6 months of GST. But even when PICOM said that and noted that, they said, you know, they do expect the market to correct itself to an extent. But it can be, I mean, so this is the other part of the Malaysian government, you know. You recognize that technology is a great enabler.
I know.
But hey, you're going to tax it anyway, you know. And it's not just about being an enabler for business. It's an enabler for society. It's an enabler for individual development.
It is a whole conversation, you know, when you talk about, okay, there's the car sales and then there's green technology and then, you know, you can't remove the tax on green cars, but you're saying this and, well, you know how it goes.
So, you know, put your policies where your mouth are.
So, okay, on a positive note, what would you like to see in 2016?
What would I like to see?
Joy and peace on earth.
Yes. Beyond that, and of course, the next Star Trek movie as well. I'd like to see a proper appointment for the Magic CEO. I mean, I think it's going to be very key for the startup ecosystem and Malaysia. I mean, Malaysia is now being looked at as a viable startup hub. We'll never be able to beat Singapore. That'll take.
I guess when you say a proper replacement for it may not necessarily be a Malaysian if need be.
It doesn't need to be. In fact, I think if you do appoint someone based on race, there will be a lot of friction that this person would unfairly have to go through. I mean, even if he's the best candidate, right, he will have to face, he or she will have to face criticism that is just appointed on the basis of race. So that these are a lot of challenges we'll be facing the new Magic CEO.
Okay, we won't know when they'll be announced. Okay, so that's, I guess, 2016's announcement. Thanks for being with us twice this year, I think. Eha Sohan! Maybe three. Eha Sohan from Digital News Asia. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.